In his previous books, The Moronic Inferno and Money, Martin Amis ridiculed American accents, American television, and American cities. In his latest book of essays, American Culture, among other things, doesn't fare much better. Commentator Maureen Carrigan wonders why we keep letting this man in the country.
It probably says something bad about our national self-esteem that Martin Amis's novels and essays sell so well over here. Amis is another in that long line of literary Brits who like to tour the U.S. and then write amusing books about how dumb, greedy, rude, garishly dressed, and just plain lame we Americans are. Dickens excelled at this kind of thing. So did Robert Louis Stevenson, Bram Stoker, and Evelyn Waugh. Reading Martin Amis's brilliant but withering descriptions of the U.S. have always made me think of the question Calvin Trillin posed after squirming through a performance by the French mime Marcel Marceau. Trillin asked, "Who keeps giving this guy a green card?" In visiting Mrs. Nabokov, Amis himself seems worried about the possibility of wearing out his welcome. His satire here is more cross-cultural. Though he sniffs at silly American tennis fans who dress in tennis togs to watch the game, he also notes the well-heeled crowds at Wimbledon always smell like damp dog. Along with his warts-and-all interviews of American writers like John Updike and the late Isaac Asimov, Amis also recalls encounters of the boozy kind with now-departed Brits Anthony Burgess and Graham Greene. And he warmly remembers a snooker game Esquire magazine paid him to play with buddy Julian Barnes, as well as a poker game GQ paid him to play with, among others, David Mamet. Oh, what fun it sounds like here to be a boy writer. As this sampling suggests, visiting Mrs. Nabokov is an uneven collection. Throwaway pieces like the two I just mentioned jostle side by side with gems like Amis's elegy for John Lennon. But to tell you the truth, Amis could publish a book of essays about how fabric softener works, and I'd read it. Part of Amis's wizardry lies in his power to conjure up whole comic situations in one unexpected word choice. For example, in an interview with the then 90-year-old writer V.S. Pritchett, Amis describes Pritchett's laugh as fizzy, his house as being fresher smelling than many a furnace the elderly inhabit, and his latest hefty short story collection as practically cuboid. Over the years, Amis has also created a disarming authorial persona, one that lets him get away with saying so many nasty things. He typically sounds like J. Alfred Prufrock on Prozac, fearful of the modern world, but determined to make himself go out there and eat a peach. But you always get the sense that, given his druthers, Amis would prefer to stay home. Maybe that's why he has such an imaginative empathy for Salman Rushdie. Amis writes that he often consoles his friend Rushdie by telling him, "If the Rushdie affair were the Amis affair, then I would, by now, be a tearful and tranquilized 300-pounder with no eyelashes or nostril hairs and covered in blotches and burns from various misadventures with the syringe and crack pipe." It's not that Amis wants to trade places with Rushdie. It's just that he seems to have given the fantasy of being permanently housebound an awful lot of thought. Taken together, the essays in Visiting Mrs. Nabokov may not be Martin Amis at warp speed, but to me, even his mediocre stuff makes almost everybody else seem sluggish.
Maureen Carrigan teaches at Georgetown University. I'm Artie Moss-Cohen.